unforgettable. But in a quick century, the piano has gone from a household entertainment center where people gathered to play and sing music of all genres to more of an enormous piece of furniture that is rarely played except in exceptionally musical households. More likely, it's a digital keyboard playing along with MP3 players and a DJ. Back in the ragtime era of 1909, more than 364,000 pianos were sold. Now, annual sales are right around a dreary 30 to 40,000, competing with stereos, DJs, synthesizers, soloists, rhythm machines, the artist Moby here, and of course, headphones. And you can even plink around on a decent-sounding piano on your own smartphone. If you have fat fingers like I do. Ah, yes. Well, Stephen Scarborough joins us. He's a second-generation piano tuner and technician, owner of Indie Tuner in Indianapolis. Hello, Stephen.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
And you recognize that melody, right?
Partly.
Yeah. But I wonder if you look around the piano universe these days, it sounds a little more like this to your ears.
You know, I think so, yeah.
What's happening? Are pianos vanishing? I mean, those are draconian numbers going back to 1909. There are still pianos around, but are you thinking about, you know, going back to school?
You know, that's a good question. You know, pianos, I agree, sales are vanishing, but a piano is a hard thing to disappear, for sure. It's a great hand-me-down that's being passed down from generation to generation. You know, I hear a lot in my line of work, you know, grandmother gave me our piano and we want our kids to learn. Can you come and fix it? So I think, you know, while sales are definitely going down, it's hard to get rid of a piano. So I'm not worried as far as that goes.
Do a little anthropology for me here. What kind of home typically has a bunch of really active piano students in it? And what kind of pianos are we talking about in this case in the 21st century?
Definitely the family who places priority on self-discipline, the type of family who has a respect for, you know, arts, music, the romantic arts, people who kind of found that road on their own, who found interest in piano on their own or other music instruments and went to school for it. You know, they tend to have a piano in the house because it's a, you know, a great way to translate scale to other areas of music and to teach and learn on. So,
would you say, Stephen, that a learning piano these days is a big upright, a tiny little spinet upright, or one of these electric pianos?
It's a little bit of everything. It kind of just depends on the family's budget and their priorities. For the most part, I tune kind of medium-sized uprights in the home. I also work at the Jordan College of Arts for Butler University. And many of their pianos are grand pianos and studio pianos, and many of the people that take lessons from there are urged to upgrade their piano as they get more involved in their craft. So, you know, it's a little bit of a range.
Can you take me into a household that really most resembles what it might have looked like in a living room, say, in the early 1900s, late 1800s even, where the piano is at the center of the parlor? There's a huge amount of music that's dog-eared and clearly marked with notation. And here's someone who needs that piano in tune and plays quite a lot. And you might even hear them play if you come to tune.
You know, we're talking back in the early 1900s, you know, very little forms of entertainment. This is, you know, pre-radio, and if you wanted entertainment or music or something to interact with in the house or in a place of, you know, place of business or a restaurant or a bar, you know, you had to hire a musician or a pianist. And if you wanted that in your home, you had to have instruments in your home. And, you know, the rich and the affluent, they bought pianos, and in order to entertain themselves, they learned how to play the piano on their own, and they did that there. And things have obviously changed a bit since then, but you know, there's a lot more substitutes for sure.
Do you have a client that resembles the old days?
You know, I do. I have a handful, you know, and most of them are, you know, classically trained pianists, or they have a huge love for the instrument, and one of their children play. And you know, I hear a lot of stories, especially around holidays, is when business picks up. You know, they have the tradition of sitting around their piano and playing Christmas carols, or hearing their daughter play because she's away at college and is home for the weekend. And you know, it still happens, just I think on a smaller level.
Do you have a piano in your home, Stephen?
I sure do, yes. I have a couple, actually.
What kinds?
One is a Baldwin. It's a baby grand. Also, I'm sitting right next to a Fender Rhodes. It's an electronic keyboard.
And that's a keyboard that actually has action to it, where it's hammers hitting tuning forks.
It does, yes. Uh-huh.
Well, Stephen, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, absolutely.
And good playing today.
Thank you.
And may you have many clients throughout this century.
I appreciate that.
Stephen Scarborough is a second-generation piano tuner and technician, owner of Indie Tuner in Indianapolis.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.